This morning we arrive at the midpoint of this post-Easter sermon series that responds to the Apostle Paul's question, what then are we to say about these things? The third topic to be addressed, dying and rising with Christ, comes from the fourth verse of the sixth chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans. It reads again as follows. Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. This particular verse appears in part at the beginning of the Christian life journey, at the presentation for holy baptism, and is heard in full at the outset of the funeral liturgy. The placement of this verse in the Lutheran liturgical services marking the beginning and ending of human earthly existence says much about its importance for the spiritual life to be lived out in between our figurative dying and rising with Christ. Speaking of the Christian life, it is a sad commentary that many people in our culture perceive Christianity as a negative thing. It is viewed as a series of don'ts. Don't drink. Don't play cards. Don't dance. Don't fool around. Don't laugh too loud. In fact, don't have any fun at all, because if you do, well, God will frown upon you. This perception of God and the Christian life is inferred by Paul's rhetorical question, shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means, Paul answers, how can we who died to sin go on living in it? That does indeed sound negative, especially to a non-believer. Death and dying. If we didn't know any better, we too would think that Christianity sounds almost like no more anything. But that's not what real Christianity is, of course. In fact, it is just the opposite. It is sin that is negative. So to be freed from sin is to be freed for a brand new life, which is positive. One biblical commentator put it this way. The Christian way is not negative. There is a death to an old way, it is true. But as the believer identifies with Christ in his death, one enters into the newness of life. That statement was brought out very clearly this morning in the discussion that ensued when I asked those gathered for the spoken service to comment on what Paul meant by his statement here of dying with Christ and rising to newness of life. And one of our members, who is very instrumental in Narcotics Anonymous, said that what Paul is essentially saying here is the third step in AA or NA. He said, but people are, like Christians, are afraid to step out in this new life they have before him. And sometimes he said that third step is very hard for people to get past, relying on that higher power to be freed from the slavery of addiction and to be free for a life without addiction. So, the Christian way of speaking about this is to say that for the Christian, the sinful life, death, is followed by a resurrection, a new life, and not just at the end of time. True Christianity is living out a new, joyful, abundant, resurrected life with Jesus Christ now. Paul reminds us, we are Christ's. Paul says much about baptism into Christ in this text and how it represents to dying to sin and living to God. I said to the group this morning that this verse is a lot about baptism and what it means, not only literally, but also figuratively. Baptism back then was a total immersion. And when you think about it, being immersed under the surface of the water, you disappear. So you're buried with Christ, where the old self is drowned. And then when you're raised up out of the water, that implies newness of life or the resurrection itself. In the writings of Martin Luther, baptism was a powerful reminder of the Christian's identity and the power to overcome sin. In the sermon that Luther preached on the second Sunday after the Epiphany, he talked about Christ's baptism. He identified baptism as the place where the wretched old man is led to drown and die as a sign and seal of our new life from God. Luther also added the assuring words, "Now, if you fall into sins, then remember to flee again into your baptism. For that is the little boat," he says, "that can help you over or across." When we contemplate our own baptism, we contemplate the death of our old self, what Christ has done for me and how Christ lives in me. In the face of temptation, we ask, how can I sin? I'm baptized into Christ. How can I offer my body as a service of this sin? Baptism, from the scriptural to the sacramental, should soak its way into our lives and shape how we think of ourselves and how we are to act with our lives. Remember your baptism, or as Luther himself used to say, when he washed daily in a basin and looked at himself in the mirror as he shaved, he would say, "I am baptized. Remember your baptism." I guess that's better than commenting on the face you might see in that mirror. Remember you are baptized and remember into whom you were baptized. Who am I? How many times have we asked that question of ourselves during the different stages of our lives? Count yourself dead to sin, Paul says. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness. He adds at the end of today's text, the problem is that sin often feels very much alive, and sometimes we find ourselves conscripted into its service. But we have to regard ourselves as dead to sin, even when we think and feel alive in it. The predicament reminds me of a story I read years ago about, of all things, ants. On my bookshelf downstairs, I have a book by the celebrated American entomologist and sociobiologist E.O. Wilson. And this is the research he carried on in his early years and became famous for, was his work with ants. He and other researchers described how ants communicate with each other through a series of pheromones, or chemical words, they release to indicate certain states like danger approaches, I found food, or I am ready to mate, or I'm dying, so throw me out. Wilson decided to do an experiment on what would happen if he sprayed some of the I'm dying pheromone onto an ant that was actually alive and healthy. The result was rather stunning. The ant got sprayed with the I'm dying pheromone, and immediately the other ants from the colony picked him up and took him outside the colony to some kind of ant graveyard. The poor sprayed ant then quickly walks back to the nest, only to have the same routine repeated again and again and again. The other ants smelled the death pheromone in him. And despite the fact that the ant was not really dying or dead, they kept throwing him out. By analogy, we need to count ourselves dead to sin, even when sin feels very alive. We need to sprinkle the waters of baptism on our sin, water that will make our sin smell of death so that we can bury it in the graveyard of our old self. For Paul, this is the act whereby we count or call or consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. And we begin to live out our true identity as followers of the Christ. The early church father and theologian named Origen commented, "Whoever thinks or considers that one is dead will not sin. For example, if lust for another person gets hold of me, or if greed for silver, gold, or riches stirs me, and I say in my heart that I have died with Christ, the lust is immediately quenched, and the sin disappears." Well, I don't know if it's that easy, but in this chapter, Paul goes on at length to emphasize that sin is no longer our master. If we have died with Christ, then we are freed from sin, and Christ is our new master, and we owe him our complete devotion. One of the things we need to emphasize in Christian living and our ethics is that we are called to show our loyalty to Jesus Christ in the types of choices we make and the type of actions we undertake. There are some things that are simply inappropriate for a person who confesses Jesus as their Lord, like murder, adultery, and theft. There are some things that are absolutely mandatory for believers, like compassion, mercy, and kindness. As servants, we should bring honor to our master by our life and our works, rather than by shame or disrepute. This reminds me of another story. I like to watch the mystery on PBS, Father Brown. The actor who portrays him does an excellent job. And last week was mentioned a famous name of a horse called Bucephalus. And I found it amusing that Father Brown named his bicycle after Alexander the Great's mighty steed. Alexander, one of the greatest military leaders who ever lived, was on a campaign. And on one particular night, the young conqueror had some trouble sleeping. So he got up from his tent to walk around the campsite to again inspect the defensive barrier. As he was quietly walking around, Alexander came across a young soldier who was asleep while on guard duty. A serious breach of security that could endanger the safety of the entire camp and army. In fact, so serious was the offense that in ancient times it usually warranted the death penalty. Alexander angrily aroused the soldier from his sleep and began to berate him. The young soldier was surprised and also fearful for his life when confronted by his commander. Alexander asked him, "Do you know what the penalty is for falling asleep on duty?" "Yes, sir," said the anxious soldier. Then Alexander questioned him some more. "What is your name, soldier?" "Alexander, sir. My name is Alexander," came the meek response. Alexander was a bit annoyed by this and repeated the question, "What is your name?" three more times. He kept getting the same answer, "Alexander," from the soldier. Finally, Alexander looked at him with an icy stare and said in a stern voice, "If your name is Alexander, then either change your name or change your behavior." Beloved people of God, our text from Romans chapter 6 reminds us that we need to honor Christ as our Lord and Master by the way we live. If we have been crucified with Christ, and if we have died to sin, we can embrace the true meaning of our baptism, secure in the trust and hope that because Christ was raised from the dead, We, like Christ, can offer ourselves in services to God and others because we know that we are those who have been brought from death to life. Remember your baptism. Remember who you are and act like it. Amen.